Amen. I have a question for the kids and teenagers, youth, kids. Anyone in here an expert at honoring your parents? Any, by show of hands, how many experts do we have at honoring parents? All right, I thought we might have a few. Now, I noticed some of the ones raising their hands are not sitting by their parents to testify whether that is true or not. All right. Okay, let me ask this then. Maybe this can be one of the experts that raised your hands, or maybe somebody else. What does it mean to honor your parents? What's it mean, Isabella? Okay, obey them, listen to them, be nice to them. All right, anybody else? Give them a drink of water when they're on the couch. All right, yeah. That's a good, appreciate that. You appreciate that, Mom? Right? You appreciate that? Water on the couch? Yeah, all right. Anyone else? Yeah, Knox? Okay, so, yeah, we don't want to spill it on the couch. Maybe just don't eat it at the couch, right? That might be a way. All right, parents, any parents in here, anything you'd like to add? What does it mean to honor parents?
Clean your room.
Clean your room, there you go. No, you're not a parent yet. You can't answer this time. You got something else, Brooklyn?
Clean our parents' room.
Oh, clean your parents' room. Okay, wow. Well, you got some work to do today. You got to, while you're cleaning her room, their room, you got to bring them a cup of water while they're sitting on the couch this afternoon. So you remember what you said. Yep, Jonathan.
Clean up after yourself and your pets.
Okay, clean up after yourself and your pets. So I'm going to read some scripture in just a moment. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 20, but I want you to think through this because we're going to get to the fifth commandment today to honor your parents. But for the sake of understanding and remembering the context, remember last week, Pastor Scott did a really good job talking about God's grace in God's law and helping us to see that we're not bound by the law anymore. We're under grace, and yet Jesus sets a standard for us in the New Testament as he calls us to live according to God's law, even though we're going to fall short. And so we're called to follow God according to his word, recognizing that ultimately that is to trust in Jesus and in his grace and in his provision. He's the only one who could do it perfectly. He's the only one that can truly honor his Father, as we're all called to honor our Lord, and then as a result to honor those that we have relationships with and those who are in authority over us. So let's read the first 12 verses of Exodus chapter 12, and then we'll talk about that this morning. So then God spoke all these words. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. So he rescued them, right? And then he gave them the commands. Do not have other gods besides me. Do not make an idol for yourself, whether in the shape of anything in the heavens above or on the earth below or in the waters under the earth. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the father's sin to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing faithful love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will punish anyone who misuses his name. Remember to dedicate the Sabbath day. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or your female slave, your livestock, or the foreigner who is within your gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. Honor your father and mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Father, we pray for wisdom this morning as we seek to understand the truth of your word, as we seek to understand what this means for us, as we seek to understand how we can be faithful to you, that we can honor you by honoring those who are in authority over us. And so, Father, we pray that you'd give us the wisdom, the clarity, the understanding. Give us a desire, God, a growing compassion and commitment and faithfulness and longing to follow you according to your word and to love those around us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as we continue to go through the Ten Commandments, let's consider their value and their importance. Let's consider that their application for our lives now and how We're called to do them because they're good for us, right? When we think of God's word, it's not just a bunch of fuddy-duddy rules for us, but it's God's goodness to us and saying, hey, this is how you're going to be fulfilled, to live according to his word. And so let's consider how ultimately, though, because you and I can't do it, Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus fulfilled the Ten Commandments perfectly. Jesus taught us then how to live them out now. What are we called to do now? And so today we're going to look at the command to honor your parents. So God cares about the family unit, right? Well, that's very clear, and he calls us to live accordingly. God cares about family, and he calls us to live in such a way that we recognize his care, his commitment to family. Loving your neighbor includes honoring your parents and rightly prioritizing family relationships. And so we're going to see this really over the next several weeks as we go through the last six commandments. We're going to see the value of relationships and the value of family, but certainly not more so than we're going to see it today in this, the fifth commandment. And so my purpose in the message today is that you will value family as God values family. God cares about the family unit. It was his idea, right? We didn't decide. Adam and Eve later said, you know what, let's have a family. I mean, it was God's idea. God instituted marriage, the first institution. God's the one that had the idea of that. God decided that they were going to be fruitful and multiply. God is the one who decided on what this is, what family means. And so he values marriage. He values families. And so his followers do too, right? Whether they're single or whether they're married with children. And everything in between. You know, I've seen single people do this well. When we lived in Turkey, we had some single ladies on our team as well as a young couple that didn't have kids yet. And sometimes they would watch the children of us and team members for the sake of those couples being able to go on dates. That was a way that they were valuing family by valuing others' marriages and their children, right? So we value family not just because of our own household. We value family by loving those around us. So in other words, regardless of the family with which you are blessed, or maybe not at the moment, if you are a follower of Jesus, you value the family because God values the family. That includes, of course, the honoring of parents. And so let's talk about two important truths about this fifth commandment. When we think about this commandment, when he says, honor your father and your mother, what do we see in this? It's not a coincidence. This is the first commandment dealing with our relationships with people. So remember, the first four commandments are really summed up, as Jesus explained in the New Testament, they're summed up by loving God, the first four. And now the second six, the last six commandments, are summed up by love your neighbor as yourself. And so I don't think it's ironic. It's not flippant or non-consequential word by our Creator that the first one of those people folks focused commandments is to love or to honor your father and your mother. Your first authority figures in your life after the Lord are your parents. So the first truth I want you to notice is that to honor is to obey. Somebody, I think it was Isabella, said it when she answered, what does it mean to honor your parents? It's to obey them, right? And this is the time where some of you parents, and you're like, oh, or some people are watching online, I should have brought my kids today. I should have made sure I was there. You know, you ever listen to a message and you're like, I hope so-and-so's listening to this. When usually it's we who need to listen to this, right? And so if you're thinking in your mind, I hope so-and-so's listening, it maybe means that you need to listen today to the word of God. But to honor your parents is to obey the Lord. You can't claim to follow God and not honor your parents. You can't say, yeah, I'm really following Jesus right now, but don't want to honor my parents. Can't stand them, right? That's not honoring to the Lord. Right, dishonoring your parents is disobeying God's word. The word honor in verse 12, it's interesting. If you look back at your Bibles again, you see when it says to honor your father and your mother, it's a word that's talking about acknowledging the weight of something. And so it's about giving someone the proper weight and respect according to their position. Respect for those in positions of authority is incredibly important. It's all over the scriptures, right? So this applies in all of our relationships. Any sort of authoritative relationship, we're to honor. We see that in 1 Peter. We see even being told, think about it, under the Roman Empire with evil rulers, they're told to honor the king, to respect those in authority, even when they're not good. So there's still honor and respect that's necessary. Parents, of course, are put in authority by God over their children. And so to honor your parents is to obey your parents. Think about it. That word honor is almost identical to the Hebrew word for glory. And so how do we honor and glorify God? We do that by living a life that reflects well on him and points others to him. So in other words, if we're living a life that brings him glory, it's pointing to him. It's giving him the credit, giving him the honor, giving him the praise. We honor and glorify God by obeying him according to his word. Likewise, when we're called to honor our parents, that means that we're to reflect well on them. And so it means to live a life in such a way that people say things like, wow, his parents are doing something right. Kids, even your friends at school, they should say things like, what? Why are you so respectful to your parents? Or why do you just do what they tell you to do without complaining? That should be the thing. As we follow Jesus, there should be something different about the way that you respond to your parents that's different than your friends who aren't following Jesus. This is true of those of you who are in elementary school. This is true of those of you who are in middle school. This is true of those who you are teenagers and you see your friends at school or your teammates on the football team or your classmates or your coworkers, and you see them being disrespectful to their parents, talking about their parents, complaining about their parents' rules, and you don't do that, and they say, why are you not doing that? Why are you being so okay with what your parents are telling you? And what an opportunity that gives you then to not only honor your parents, but more importantly, to honor Christ. And point people to him and say, the reason I do what I do is because I love Jesus. And he's changed my life. And because he's changed my life, he's changed my relationships, including my relationship with my parents. As long as they're not asking you to do something that dishonors and disobeys the word of God, then you obey your parents. So obviously, if your parents said something like, you're not allowed to read your Bible, you're not allowed to pray, you're not allowed to go to church, then you find ways to do what God's word calls you to do. But most of the time, just as with bosses at work or teachers at school, most of the time, you're not being asked to do things that disobey God's word. You're being asked to do things maybe that you don't want to do, but it's an opportunity for you to honor those in authority. And that points to your relationship with Christ. Honoring authority honors Christ, because it's obedience to his word. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 says, so as we see this repeated in the New Testament, children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and your mother. Ultimately, then, you obey your parents by bringing them the most honor, right? And you honor them and you bring them by obeying them, and you bring them honor by obeying the word of God. Right? In other words, as you obey your parents and you seek to honor your parents, you're obeying God and you're obeying his word. And so as you, it kind of is a cycle, right? So as you obey God's word, as you live according to God's word, then what are you doing? You're actually honoring your parents when you do that. Think about it. When children are very, if you're very kind and you're respectful, doesn't that reflect well on your parents? If you're loving God with all of your heart, and you're loving your neighbors yourself. So if we sum up the Ten Commandments and we say Jesus did it well and he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and to love your neighbors yourself. If you're doing that, that's going to reflect well on your parents. That's going to honor your parents. There's no better way to honor your parents than that. Because of course that also means that you're going to love your parents. It means you're going to honor your parents if you love God and you love your neighbors yourself. It's going to be a great example to those around you. And in kids, if you're doing that, if you're loving God with all your heart and you're loving those around you, that is going to speak very highly of your parents. That's a life that honors them because it's a life that honors the Lord. And people are going to say, wow, I want to know what the trick is. I want to know what the advice that parent's going to give me as to why their children are seeking to honor and love the Lord so much. Again, of course, this assumes that your parents are walking with Jesus and in obedience to his word. Our ultimate authority, we know that our ultimate authority is the Lord for all of us. No matter what your age is, no matter what your status in life is, our ultimate authority is God. And so we obey others in authority over us only as much as they do not ask us to do something that is contrary to his word. And so Paul continued after this word for children in Ephesians 6 to obey their parents. And we'll get to the second part of verse 2 and in verse 3 in a minute. But before we get to that, look at verse 4. He says, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So this applies to anyone who's raising a child as the authority figure in the home. Don't hurt your children emotionally or physically or spiritually. Don't hurt your children, but point them to Jesus. That's what this is getting at. Otherwise, their failure to honor us and to honor the Lord, that's on us. I think the vast majority of children who aren't honoring their parents is because their parents aren't honoring the Lord. And they're not being respectful and loving to others because their parents aren't being respectful and honoring to the Word of God. And so that has an impact on the children. Don't leave the most important job that you have. Every one of us in here who has the blessing and the privilege of raising kids, or some of you with grandkids, or maybe others of those of you who have an impact on other kids in your life, the greatest job and privilege and most important job that we have in the world is helping our children to follow Jesus. Don't leave that up to the world around you. Don't leave that up to worldly influences. Point them to Jesus. Get them in the Word. Get them in church. Prioritize the things that are important. Honor and obey the Lord by teaching them to honor and obey the Lord, so that then it will be natural for them. It will just be an overflow that they will love and honor you. So to honor is to obey. The second truth I want you to notice in this commandment then is obedience brings blessing. Now be careful not to misunderstand this. Obedience does not bring salvation. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We obey because we've been saved, not in order to be saved. Please hear that and let me say it again. We obey because we have been saved, not in order to be saved. And so obedience, though, even though with that being the case, we do see here that obedience brings blessing. Now, this is not the prosperity gospel. This is not health and wealth. And we'll get to that a little bit more in a minute. But when we obey God, including obeying your parents, it is then that we experience what God has for us right now. So look at the verse again. Look at Exodus 20, verse 12 again. Honor your father and mother, so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is a blessing of obedience, and we'll talk in a minute just about what this is, but this is a blessing of obedience, but think about it, it's also a blessing of common sense, isn't it? Because don't parents so often instruct their kids for the sake of protecting them? I mean, we don't say don't touch the hot stove because we want to rob you of fun. We don't say don't cross the street without looking both ways because we don't want you to have fun. No, we do it because we're protecting you. And so often, so much of our instruction and our counsel and our advice and our rules are for the sake of your good, just as it is with God. God gives us His Word for our good. Parents are to instruct their children for their good. So my dad was right. Nothing good happens after midnight. I hated it when he said that when I was in high school. But so much of the many problems that my teenage friends had were because they did not heed that advice. They didn't have to be home at midnight. And I see some of the things that happen to some of my friends after midnight, and it's devastating. I have friends who died after midnight because they were doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. And if they would have just been home and in bed, they'd probably still be here. And we say it almost like it's a joke, but it's so true. There's just advice that parents give because they love you and they want you to be healthy and they want you to be safe. And so this blessing that we see, part of it is a promise from God, but it's also just common sense. Listen to your parents. They know things that you don't know yet. Children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So he's stating this again. We get to the New Testament. Paul's writing this to the church at Ephesus. And he says it again, so that it may go well with you, and then you may have a long life in the land. And so what this was a national promise for the Jewish people that God was making to them in the time of Moses, right? So they were going to have the promise of being in the promised land. And so obviously, there was a journey to get there, and there's a promise that God is making to the people of Israel for the land at the time, for them. And we can see in places like Ezekiel 22 that one of the reasons that they were later delivered over into captivity again, remember, God delivered them. We started this word in Exodus 20 with God delivering them, speaking about delivering them out of slavery. He delivers them. He gives them all of these things that they don't deserve. And then one of the reasons they end up back in captivity with somebody else, in Ezekiel 22 it says, is because of their disobedience to words like this, the call to honor your parents. Think about that. They faced grave consequences because they didn't honor their parents. Even as the old, I mean, think about it. If you read the last two verses of the Old Testament, Malachi, go back and read it. I have the reference notes in, or the scripture reference there in your notes on underneath the second reason here. There's an emphasis at the end of Malachi on this command to honor your parents. And what was to come? Remember he said somebody's going to come and he's going to turn the hearts of the children back to their parents. There's going to be an honoring of parents. So what we need to understand, though, when we think about this for us, is that obedience to the word of God brings blessing. Not the promise of riches. Obedience to the word of God doesn't mean that we're going to be comfortable, that we're going to have everything we ever wanted. It doesn't mean that we're going to have good health. That's not what we're getting at here. The promises of being who God called you to be, the promise of doing what God has called you to do and finding fulfillment in that. That's the blessing of obeying God's word. You know, no follower of Jesus ever looks back after obeying the word of God and says, I shouldn't have done that. No, the opposite is true. When we obey, we are blessed with the satisfaction and the fulfillment that comes when we are walking with the Lord. And so, who in here is ever regretful of obeying God's word? No, we're regretful when we don't obey God's word. Not only because of the conviction of sin in our hearts, but because of the consequences that come with disobedience. There's a desire for such obedience for followers of Jesus. Remember, God rescued the people, and then he gave his commands. Once you've been rescued, you're called to obey. Once you've been rescued, you're expected to obey. Once you've been rescued, you desire to obey. So have you been rescued from your sins? If so, you're going to desire to obey the word of God. You're going to value what God values. You'll see the blessing of obedience. You'll see the happiness of honoring God. You'll see the peace of walking with him. You'll have a longing to love him and a longing to love others according to his word. Remember, I said my purpose today in this message is that you would value the family as God values the family. Do you value family? First of all, as a general idea, just God's design for family, husband and wife and children, do you value that idea, the truth of what that means? Because that's under attack in our world. But also in your own relationships, do you value family? Are you valuing family in your everyday life? What is your necessary response to God's word today? When you think through this and you think, okay, this is not just a message for those who are living at home. This is a message for all of us. And valuing what God values. And honoring what God calls us to honor. Because that's how we honor him. One of the ways that we honor him. Parents and guardians, are you bringing up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord? As we see in Ephesians 6. As we see in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Are you bringing up your children in the fear and instruction of the Lord? Kids, are you honoring and obeying your parents? Now we'd all have to say, of course I'm failing in whatever it is that I'm called to do, because I'm a sinner, I fall short. And when we look at God's word, his design, his plan, his calling for our lives is perfect. He didn't mess up, right? His design for us is, from the beginning, it included perfect relationships. So we had a perfect marriage for just a little bit with Adam and Eve, and a perfect relationship with God with Adam and Eve, but we know what happened. Sin entered the picture. We all sin. We all fall short of God's perfect design for our lives. We all fall short of God's glory. Any sort of disobedience to God's word and God's way is sin. We can't pick and choose. We can't say, well, yeah, but I'm doing this really well, so let me have my own thing over here, God. No, sin is any sort of disobedience to God's word. Not just willful commission of sin, but willful omission, not doing what God calls us to do. That's sin. And so what does sin lead to? Sin leads to brokenness. Broken relationships, broken lives. Dishonoring parents. Not valuing family as God does. Not prioritizing with our children that they walk with Jesus, and instead we prioritize all this other junk that doesn't matter in the end. It doesn't matter. What are we doing? What are we teaching our kids when we say, yeah, church, yeah, if we got time for it. Yeah, the Bible, yeah, maybe if we got time. But make sure you do this. Make sure you get really good scores in this. Make sure you do really well in this. What are we doing? That's not going to matter in the end. What matters is, do they know Jesus? And are they walking with him? And so that's what brokenness looks like. Brokenness is, no, the Bible says this, but let's do all of these things. Let's go all of these ways. No, the Word of God. Parents, it's not our kids that are failing in our world, it's us. It's not the school that's failing our kids, it's us. It's not the church that is failing our kids, it is us. So the most important broken relationship that comes because of sin, we know, as the Bible makes clear, is a broken relationship with God. And we're all born with that broken relationship with God because of our sin. And so it's our responsibility as parents, as grandparents, as followers of Jesus, it's our responsibility to help people to see that they don't have to stay in that brokenness, that the gospel of Jesus Christ saves. And it's the only message, it's the only way for salvation is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus dying on the cross in our place for our sins. It's Jesus rising from the dead to defeat sin and death forever. And so it's us, the Bible tells us, repentance and faith, turning away from sin and believing Jesus alone to save us. Not trusting some other way, not trusting some other thing, but trusting Jesus. If you simply turn from sin and believe in Jesus alone, that's it. That's salvation in Christ. It's not obeying so that you can be saved. It's the result that because you've trusted in Jesus, then you begin to recover and pursue that perfect plan and purpose that God has for you. Then you desire those good, healthy relationships. Then you desire to walk with God according to his word. Just as most of you studied in family groups this morning, we were talking about Abraham's faithful example. Faith is obeying and following God no matter the circumstances that come with it. We don't say, well, yeah, I was going to obey God, but that just won't make me very happy. No, faith is obeying God. You think Abraham was happy? There's no way he was happy when he was 90 or 100 years old and he still didn't have a kid. You think Sarah was happy when she laughed when they said that she was going to have a child and she was almost 90? No, but you see, obedience, following God, no matter the circumstances, he's worth the cost. He's worth the difficulty. He's worth the suffering that comes with that. And so as Jesus changes your life, then that's when you begin to recover and pursue that perfect plan and purpose that God has for you. Not only do you have the promise of eternal life, God is in your life now to change you and to grow you through the work of his Holy Spirit. Valuing family, honoring parents, prioritizing godly relationships. You're never going to be the same again when you do that. Because God is changing you. And so what relationships do you need to work on right now? Who are you helping to follow Jesus? Who's helping you to follow Jesus? Those are the relationships we need to be prioritizing. And so, of course, first and foremost, it's those in our home. It's the relationships we have with the people we live with. Parents and their kids, grandparents maybe, or whatever your situation is in your home. You've got an opportunity every day to speak into the hearts of those children, into your marriage, into your families. Prioritize family, including church family. Follow Jesus and help others to follow Jesus. Father God, that's our cry to you today, that you would help us to prioritize our relationship with you above all else. And then as a result, that would make us better husbands and wives. It would make us better parents. It would make us better children. It would make us better classmates and co-workers. It would make us better teammates. It would make us better friends and neighbors. It would make us better to those around us, to love those that you've put in our lives. Father, help us to follow you with all of our hearts. I pray for those here this morning who haven't yet trusted in you. Those who haven't yet turned from sin and asked you to take over their lives, please give them that desire this morning. Please give them that longing to cry out to you for salvation, recognizing that no one in this room is any better than anyone else in this room. None of us is beyond the possibility of falling hard away from you, apart from your grace and your mercy and your provision. So, Father, please help us to walk with you according to your word by trusting your Spirit to lead us, and help those who haven't yet surrendered their all to you to do that this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.